The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Hope you're doing okay. The weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning. We were off the last couple of days in the afternoon due to NCAA tournament coverage. Good to be back. Spring football's on a bit of a break. And a little R&R for players and coaches, if there is such thing. And then they get cranked back up in about a week. You can join us this morning, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Kranak, what's good this morning? How you doing?
I'm fantastic, sir. It's good to talk some football after watching some pretty boring hoops. Let's be honest.
Is that where you're at? I mean, are you looking at it as, man, my bracket's shredded or intact, whether you went chalk or not, because there were no buzzer beaters, there was no drama, there were no upsets?
It's just kind of boring. I mean, let's just be honest. It's, you know, just not terribly exciting. I just haven't found myself quite glued to the games as much as before, but
no,
that's fine.
Listen, I can't change your mind. I don't know that it was anything will equal a year ago where you had so much carnage. I will say that, you know, I know there was a blowout last night between Michigan State and Miami. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed watching Sparty play probably their best basketball in a while.
I've always liked them, by the way.
Yeah, my kid loves them. And yep. You look Thursday night, Wisconsin, Virginia Tech, not awful basketball. I mean, Wisconsin kept hitting shots. So, I mean, I have found 3 to 4 games where, yeah, it was okay. And then Oklahoma State, Michigan was great yesterday, especially if you're at a bar where half the bar has the overs and half the bar has the unders and some clown hits a three with a second left.
Right.
And Oklahoma State covers but doesn't win. So half the bar is cheering, the other half of the bar is screaming.
I'll tell you what, though, man. Tomorrow.
Don't shoot it. Oh, it was hilarious. Unless, you know, you were the guy that lost a G because Michigan bombed a three in to make it a 92-91 loss. Or Okie State did that. Sorry, go ahead.
I'll tell you, though, tomorrow is like Blue Blood City.
It is.
I think the tournament recovers tomorrow. You think of everybody that's playing. It's crazy. You got Duke is playing on that day. They got South Carolina. You got
Michigan and Louisville started off Sunday.
Yeah, Michigan and Louisville. You got UCLA taking on Cincinnati. You got Kentucky taking on Wichita State. So it'll rebound, you know. It'll rebound. Hey, look at that pun.
No,
you got Kansas, Michigan State, all the blue bloods taking place tomorrow. So that'll be good.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, so your first opening round session Thursday, Friday – didn't have craziness, but you may have incredible basketball today and tomorrow if you make time for it.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know, and interesting, too, that Creighton, this isn't a Creighton show, they got blown out again, man. They get blown out in the tournament. This is now like,
this has been
like
3 to 4
years in a row.
Nutty year for them.
Well, it's sure. You know, this year was rough. They lost their point guard. But whatever, even when they've been full strength, I mean, their last 3 to 4 tournament appearances, they get... They're double-digit losses.
Yeah.
You know, they're not competing once they get there. And you wonder if that'll start to – and, you know, they're the ones that carry the banner in the state,
mm-hmm.
like it or not. But once they get there, they're not doing anything. And then how about ESPN? This is – I think this actually might have been when I lost a little more interest. ESPN, they tweeted it. They covered it on SportsCenter. Like right after Northwestern wins, the secondary story to that is,
guess who's,
and that leaves Nebraska as the only Power 5 team that has never won a tournament game.
Oh, and it was like 5 seconds after Northwestern
it's
like won.
Part of the story. The story is not, how about Northwestern getting the W? It's Northwestern gets the W, and let's laugh and point at Nebraska.
Nebraska's still the kid on the playground waiting to get picked. We asked the question, maybe Nebraska will get some Chicago Cubs-type sympathy since they're the only one to not win a NCAA tournament game. So maybe you have a year full of people cheering for Nebraska locally and nationally to get off the schneid.
You know, and ESPN, of course, tweets the picture with Herbie. And Herbie's, of course, smiling because he does that. He's a perma-smile kind of dude. And he's just smiling, looking. And just
I miss old Herbie.
It just looked pathetic. It's not good. It's not good at all. But what do you do? How much tournament's going to happen now when you don't have Fuller and Jariah Horn?
Kranak, the Fuller angle, good luck and God bless. Jariah Horn bugs me, that loss.
It bugs me too.
You know why? Because he was the quickest to adapt from high school to college. Give him the basketball, let him go score. He'd screw you on defense, I know, but listen, man.
Which means his scoring, let's be honest. So some people give that a pass, where they're just like, yeah, he sucked on defense, but he could score. It's like, well, it negates his scoring.
Right.
If he lets the other guy score. So, like, you know what I mean? So you can't just let it go.
Or if he blows up his assignment defensively.
Yeah, right. Like, so if his guy scores 12 and he scores 10,
you're minus
he's
two.
No longer a good, you know? But you're right. In terms of pure scoring, yeah, that dude has it, right? Like, he
just doesn't care. He's going to go shoot it. He'll make it a lot of times, and he'll create his shot. I mean,
he'll be the dirty dude at the Y when he's 40, dropping 40 on everybody. You know, like he's got an array of moves.
No, he can play ball. I like it a lot. Yeah. I don't like that he's not there anymore because he was really talented early. I mean, we'll see. Kranak, let's talk for a couple minutes here about spring ball. And
topic overall.
No, I know. I can sense your venom with the NCAA tournament. Do you need a hug? Was the bracket that bad for you these first 2 days?
I'm in the Hale Varsity group. You're in that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have like 60 brackets.
See, I'm middle of the road right now. I'm not doing terrible. Got North Carolina as the champion, so, you always have a chance.
How am I doing in the Hale Varsity bracket?
You're Hale Varsity Radio, like 1001, right?
Yeah. Yes, I think.
Assuming. Let me check you out, man. I'm going to try to find you while you introduce the football topic.
Now, what we're going to talk about here is the safeties and the topic of Josh Kalu.
Oh, dude, you're tied for third, by the way.
Nice. Good.
Not bad.
Yes.
Good job.
Josh Kalu, safety. Does that grab you? And I bring it up because early in the week, you had the narrative being Nebraska's loaded with talent at safety. You've got Aaron Williams. You have some of the young pups, Reed and Doman. You have Kyron Williams. It's a starter from a year ago. I mean, so you have four guys there at safety, okay? And then what happens Thursday? Come on down, Joshua Kalu. And now he's next to Aaron Williams. Not that it's permanent ink, but I step back and go, wow. Now, Kalu likes playing that nickel spot. He likes playing more physical.
Mm-hmm.
So safety's not an awful experiment.
No.
And Lamar Jackson's a guy that's one of your poster children of West Coast recruiting success, and he needs to be on-field success. I mean, he's also obviously getting better and more comfortable. So him with his athleticism at corner, that's not brutal either for Nebraska. But I just kind of find it, I don't know. I mean, because you got Doman and Reed, and they were pumping up them being Coach Elliott, just the options he had at safety. And then here's Kalu. And then I'm like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense because here's my two cents on Kalu. The guy did well for the most part a year ago as an open field tackler. The guy, personality-wise, is somebody that that his teammates love because he kind of keeps things loose. From just from you know, you factor in that leadership or a guy that's been through the rodeos before. And then I look at Kalu, and I think physicality with him against wide receivers. Those are kind of my positives. What's he bring to the party mentally? What's he do as a tackler? And what's he do when it comes to hand-to-hand combat against wide receivers? And I think Kalu does a pretty good job. But push comes to shove. Is Kalu a guy that can get beat off the line by a speedster? Absolutely. And is he maybe more suited to where they're looking at him now? Let him D up some people. Let him do the nickel thing. But from a safety standpoint, as well as he can tackle, is he a guy that can come down and help stop the run? Different body type than Gary, obviously. But, hey, I'm okay to this. Let me see how it shakes out. It may be doing everybody a favor by getting more speed on the field when you trade Lamar in coverage, if you're going man, for Kalu.
There's a lot of things at work here, I think. So I think you're right.
Did I just spit out everything that here's the why to it?
There's a lot. There's a ton. I think all of it needs to be couched in. Look, this was like practice number 6 during the spring before spring
Thursday.
Break.
Thursday. Right.
Right. And so if you're going to try stuff like this, now's a good time. You're not going to disrupt. Look, Kalu knows what he's doing at corner.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you got Lamar Jackson more reps in pressure situations, red zone situations. If nothing else, you got that going for you during that practice. But think about this, too. There's always Nebraska will play, every defense will play a lot of 5 defensive backs. They'll play the nickel on, God, if you're playing a passing team, what are you doing that half the time? More? Well, you know, you have to get DBs on the field. And then Aaron Williams did a lot of that last year.
Mm-hmm.
He would come up. You hear what Bob Diaco and Bob Elliott have said about how much they like Aaron Williams remaining in that safety spot. That was not necessarily the case last year.
Right.
That was Kyron. That was Aaron. That was Gary. There was, you know, they mix people around, but Aaron would usually be that 5th guy that came in. Well, if Aaron's the guy that now starts all the time, you got to find that other nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's your best combination to get your best 5? So I can't wonder. I just wonder if that's more the thing than anything is you're trying to figure out who your 5 would be.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? And then look, Jackson, he's got he's one of the supreme athletes on the team. Top 3, top 4, probably, if you can measure just pure athleticism and talent. That dude's got it. Here's the thing I don't understand, though.
Mm-hmm.
All this praise for Aaron Williams. I'm not hating on the guy, but I just know he has been a part of some pretty high-profile kind of busts.
Okay. Are you thinking Ohio State?
You're thinking that. You're thinking his freshman year BYU on the Hail Mary. Granted, that's his first game ever. He's a freshman.
Somebody keeps score for a long time.
No, give him a pass on that. But I just know that this is
wow, Aaron Williams
gets his share of criticism, and it's kind of deserved. And so to hear the coaches kind of anoint him when you've seen on the field, like he has his moments. But it seems like he also has some serious busts happening.
So are you kind of stepping back? You're putting your season ticket hat on, okay? Are you weary of him from a trust standpoint of, great, I'm hearing how he gets it between the ears. He's kind of the quarterback of the defense. Mm-hmm. He can make plays because he's a big-time athlete, but you have not erased some of the heartache from your memory, and that's
those guys
fair.
Always scare me, right? It's think back to Sean Fisher, think back to Dedrick Young,
okay,
the guys that are always in the right spot, they know exactly what they're doing. Yeah, well, they miss tackles.
I'm more interested here.
Like
I'm gonna come at you with what's going on right now, and that is if this soon with the installation, and if this soon a guy like Aaron Williams already knows where and how to line up, that's going to be your hand grenade the rest of spring and into the fall. How the hell do I line up? What's my job? Can I do it fast?
Very important. Okay? Very important when you're transitioning defense.
And if he already knows how to do that and knows where everybody else is supposed to be,
they're happy.
You live with some missteps. Okay? Because you got another, you got to get the other 10 guys to know where they're supposed to be.
Well, and let's go. Look, totally agree. I get that.
And maybe Aaron's looked at some of the missteps, and man, I think he's really good.
I'm not saying he's terrible either.
No,
right? He's just going into his junior year.
No, I know. And you're looking at like where he got isolated, and he's supposed to be one of Nebraska's best, and he was against one of Ohio State's best, and. Dude, Samuel lit up a lot of people last year, okay?
No, totally. I'm not trying to.
And by the way, no, I know you're not. And by the way, let's talk scheme where you're asking somebody to go one-on-one. That didn't work for Michigan. That didn't work for Clemson. That didn't work for anybody. Didn't work for Oklahoma with Samuel, okay? So.
No, I get it. I get that.
Hey, go D him up one-on-one in a slot position.
Here's the other thing at work. What is it that Kyron?
Why are people like hesitant on him? I don't get it. You and I are in lockstep with that because all the guy seems to do is just intercept the ball
and make tackles.
And he also I go back to that leadership angle. He's a vocal leader.
Yeah, I don't quite understand why.
Here's my theory on that. I think he's, and I hate to speak for him because obviously I've not interviewed him. I haven't asked him. We've interviewed him before, but he must just have busts in practice, or the focus. I'm throwing out reasons. I don't know. Okay, speculation, not accusation here. Listen. There must be just some sort of disconnect between him and coaches from time to time. What else would it be? Because when he gets in the games, he performs.
Yeah, he arrives too. He hits.
I mean, the guy didn't get a black shirt initially, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The guy made a huge interception against Minnesota. The guy made big time plays against Wisconsin. And Kyron's always been, they're just not all in on him.
And this is now two steps, and it's very early.
And you got to flip it around. Is he one of those guys that maybe it takes a while for him to get all in with the staff? I mean, the poor guy's had 75 secondary coaches.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
And maybe with him, he's been around this long enough, maybe he just is. Look, here's what I do. Here's my film. Quit jerking me around. He might be one of those guys too. I'm some of the best you got, and I'll show you on Saturdays. Does he show you Monday through Thursday? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's weird that so that's the other thing about Kalu moving over. Because I'm already wondering about
Kyron Williams is going. What the hell here? You've got you got two freshmen, a sophomore. Yeah. A junior, and now the guy who's got like 30 starts in the secondary. Hi, Kyron. How are you?
Yeah, and it's just like, what happened to him? Why is he falling out of favor? Antonio Reed, where does that leave him? This is all good, though, the conversations that we're having here.
It's competition. You want to play, do your best Monday through Thursday, and then kill it on Saturday.
You got some options. You have options. Put it this way, if your current lineup keeps Kyron Lamar Jackson on the bench, if your current basically understood starting lineup as we know it right now has those guys as backups, you're in a pretty good situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Just think about that. If somebody beats those guys out, actually does it, you're good. If that's your two deep.
Secondary's good.
Yeah, I bet.
I think it's good. It's in good shape. You can withstand a couple injuries there and not expect to take a dive. And then how about two? How about two? How about two? How about two? We'll get into it. I know we got to run for the rewind, but it sounds like Wilbon is doing his thing. I mean, that to me, that would be the absolute quarterback aside. Quarterback, of course, is going to be number one story. Who's going to be the quarterback? How are they going to perform? Blah, blah, blah. But if Wilbon is right, oh, my God, that's the that's damn near the X factor for the season, I think. If you can get him right and he wins that job.
You want to talk about making the line better?
Oh, dude, think about I like Trey Bryant.
I know you do.
But does Trey Bryant at all scream to you right now at this point in his career? Is he all Big Ten material going into this year? No. Nope. He's good. He can do a good job. Divine Ozigbo, do you think he has all Big Ten potential?
No. I mean, absolutely potential, but...
It's a stretch, right?
I think athletically what excites you most is the flashes you've seen with Wilbon in comparison to what you have at the backfield, in the backfield.
And then dumping it down to him?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's more of a freelance, that's a freelance situation, right? Mm-hmm. You leak out, they dump it to you, and could be a linebacker.
And he's got enough shake and bake to make those tackles be avoided. Absolutely.
He's got the potential to be an all-conference back if he's the guy that gets the snaps. Out of the three that are in the running right now, Wilbon is the most likely, if he got the snaps, to be all-conference level.
His wiggle's incredible. Mm-hmm. And in that context, you're talking about big time for sure. All right, Rewind is coming up. Charlie McBride. Don't forget, next hour we'll run down Brandon Vogel of Hale Varsity and the Iron Horse Gary Sharp. If you're out with a family or friends and it's a good time had by all and you're having a few drinks and someone offers you a ride home and you say no thanks, you think you're okay to drive, think again. Mixing alcohol and driving, never good for anybody. You can take a life, can lose yours. You can be arrested, go to jail, lose your license, pay fines and legal fees. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. This message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. A timeout. Hail Varsity Weekend Edition rolls forward. Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Our conversation with him. Thoughts on brackets, thoughts on the spring. That's next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Coach, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting here thinking about going back to Michigan, and it was 24 where I'm going this morning, and it's going to be 90 here today. So I don't know. It's like going from the penthouse to the outhouse.
Well, I don't have much for you. It's windy and chilly in Nebraska, and I know that sunshine in Arizona. Before we get into some spring football thoughts, it's NCAA tournament time, Coach, and the state you're in, the Arizona Wildcats, doing pretty well. The state you're heading to, those Michigan Wolverines had themselves a tournament in Washington, D.C. They won the Big Ten postseason tournament. Do you have any suggestions or advice for people who do brackets, and have you ever done a bracket yourself?
Yeah, I have. I think, you know, the thing about what people need to understand is the worst people to ask about who's going to win or lose are football coaches. Because, you know, in basketball, half the football coaches don't know whether basketball stuffed or pumped up anyway. You know, we had one. I remember one year there was some talk about office bracketing and doing things like that. And so I think, I don't remember back, but it was somebody did it, so they warned everybody, you know, and it kind of got to be just fill the bracket out and see who was the best one, and that was it. I know a lot of the business offices had money on it and things like that, but I think, you know, the one thing is you watch teams play during a year and you kind of get a feeling for some of them. You don't get to see all of them, but I've seen Arizona play enough on TV to know that they're the real deal. I mean, they got 2 7-footers and they're both very, very agile. One's a great player. And then, you know, I don't know why I'm kind of partial to Villanova. No, but, you know, I watched them early in the season, and I just like their toughness and things like that. So, you know, that would be, you know, I don't know if they even end up playing each other before the, you know, final game, but those two teams are two of them that, you know, that stick out in my mind as far as doing it, mm-hmm. you know, going on. And I think if I fill the bracket out, I'd end up with those two.
They, if they make it all the way, they'll meet in the Final Four.
Okay.
So
you can write that down.
Pen or pencil.
Know, the bad thing is when you're coaching and you're giving information out that you've seen this or that, I think that's illegal, but that's fine.
we're just having fun here, Coach. That's all.
Yeah.
So
I know nothing about it.
Right. So in the with the Nebraska coaches, if you guys did a bracket, would the winner get lunch for somebody? I mean, what'd you win other than the fact that you were the smartest guy in the office?
No, you just be the only guy with a smile on your face.
Just self-pride. There we go.
Right.
A lot of pride with this Nebraska defense coach, the black shirts. Let's talk some spring football. And, you know, a lot's been made about Coach Diaco and his energy. That was kind of a storyline coming in, and it's been a storyline through the practices the media has been able to observe. And also, you ask or talk to the players. I mean, they love it. And the term that was used and used quite a bit, at least the practices I've gotten to watch, he uses the word fun. He says, let's have some fun out there. Let's have some fun out there. And you're supposed to do it, but the higher you get, the more of the job aspect to it kind of comes through. But he's kept it, you know, energetic, and he uses the word fun. Let's have fun out there. And that's something I want you to comment on, keeping the kids engaged, but also kind of cranked up to go out there.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, you know, when it gets right down to the bottom line, you're playing so-and-so, and you want to go out, and one of the things a lot of coaches will say, let's go out and have some fun. You know, that's why you're there, to have fun. It's not you're not in prison and you're not pounding rocks or anything. You're there to win and have fun with a bunch of guys that you really care about. And I think, you know, I go back to some of the things coaches did, you know, and that I knew. I know way back when Buffy Doherty would start practice off every practice with a joke. I don't know how he got that many of them, but he would. And then one of the players got to chime in, give their practice, and it usually ended up guys screaming yay and guys going ooh, and you know, it was a little bit of fun. You know, I saw a film of it actually one time a long time ago, him doing that. And I think, you know, there's little times in practice when you're working in preseason or now, or when you know the players are working really hard, you know, there's always that popsicle break or something that really, you know, those things add a little bit to the feeling that, you know, the coaches care, and you know, you've been working hard and so on and so forth. And then maybe after practice, you had watermelon and stuff like that. And I know that we had these things called gassers, and they were across the field rather than the length of the field. And, you know, we'd run them by position every day, kind of the offensive line and defensive line would run together and so on and so forth. And we had specific lines, and you know, if you didn't run it wasn't real good, because a lot of the players would get on you because you'd have to rerun the whole that again. But when the fun time came is when the relays started. You know, so it's a certain time of year you got to have relays, you know, position against position and so on and so forth. So you know, there's a lot of little things in practice and stopping, and you know, when you know the kids are working, stop for a couple of minutes and talk to them, and you know, talk about let's have some fun and things like that when we're doing this stuff. And you know, when somebody would not criticize people, but tell them how bad they look doing that particular drill. Or, especially the older guys on the younger ones. That was kind of ugly, especially when Peter was here and his brother came. That was really ugly because he didn't do anything right.
let's stay there for a second. The constructive criticism of Christian to Jason, how did that usually work?
Oh, I didn't. I mean, they can handle anything. I mean, both of them were true football players. If you criticize them, it was always constructive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't a personal thing. It was always something constructive. And like I said, you always worry about kids getting in fights in the game, mm-hmm. causing a big penalty and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't worry about that with those two guys. The only thing I worried about was both of them getting in a fight during the game. Because they were reading on each other. One was a three technique, one was a nose tackle, and, if something would happen bad, one would blame the other one, and so on and so forth. I mean, they were competitors against each other and stuff like that.
I wasn't necessarily asking about your constructive criticism. I was talking about Christian to Jason or vice versa.
Well, everything was negative.
Uh-huh.
You look terrible, or you did this wrong, or why in the world did you do that? You cost us 15 yards on the last series, and so on and so forth. There'd always be an answer, but I wouldn't want to repeat what some of the answers
mm-hmm.
were. But but you had to put your earmuffs on.
Uh-huh.
But they were great, I mean, with each other. I think most of it was in fun. And they would actually be part of the, as time went on, Jason kind of took over and did some things in practice, or, they mm-hmm. help each other and all that. There's a lot of things you can do with a person, during practice to make the game fun for them. I remember my coach used to always I got this saying from him way back when, and he'd always look at McBride, if you got any slower, your heart would stop. And so, that kind of stuff. Those are the things that, I knew he didn't really, really mean it, but mm-hmm. it kind of got you juiced up and going, because everybody was laughing.
Yeah. 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 Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, want to switch over to the offensive side of the ball real quick. Mm-hmm. And that fine line, and you coached offensive line for a number of years.
Mm-hmm, right.
What's that fine line for you coaching when it comes to pass protection and still being physical? Kind of getting a run blocking mentality and applying that to pass protection, because you got to be so good on your feet and quick on the outside with those linebackers or defensive ends. How do you get that aggressiveness, but also kind of preach patience so it's
right.
tough? That's well, where I'm going.
Yeah, they have to be so disciplined in everything they do. I think I know Coach Tenneper time and time again would tell us, go get me a bunch of defensive linemen that are offensive linemen,
mm-hmm. Right.
That mentality that wanted and those players, and sometimes in practice, as they're younger, they kind of get maybe in one-on-ones or in pass rush, they get beat and things like that. And I think that's where the older guys come in and try to help them. The coach has something to do. He's trying to run the drill and all of that. And I think that's a big, big thing. But I think most guys, get tougher with age.
Okay.
A lot of times don't come in like the Peter brothers, or we had guys on the first class I had. I didn't know who was first team and who was second, so we alternated every two series. I don't know that's possible or would be possible. I don't know. But, I think if you have a guy that they know you're both good players and you're going to alternate and set up some kind of a tempo that way, with them. And, they know they're going to play. They know they're going to get some rest. And they know they're going to be able to play hard while they're on the field. And it's really tough in college because there's so many more plays.
Yeah.
So you really have to really coach for depth.
Sounds like Nebraska's making their way. Coach Riley talked after practice on Saturday about the fact that he'd never in his career been able to have, you know, 10 O linemen, a true two deep. He's getting closer. He feels pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction when you hear that with the offensive line? I mean, it sounds like they're getting some production.
That fires me up. I mean, I think, you know, you're talking about having fun. What do you want to do? Just put five guys out there and you got 12 or 15 standing on the sideline that don't get to play?
Right.
I mean, and it motivates all of you. You all feel more of a part of the team. And you also feel that I can't let these guys down. I got to, you know, I'm in here. And at my position, I got to really play as hard as I can to keep my job or to be in that rotation even. So I think that you know that's part of the thing. I know people say, well, we can't teach run blocking and pass blocking, and we have to do one or the other. And I you know, you've got coach written on your shirt. If you want to take it off, then go get another job.
Get a number of guys ready, and we'll see where Nebraska goes with that. Coach, I want to wrap up here. Coach Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, the thing that I think the offense is excited about, too, in the passing game is with this offense, the ability to always find somebody that's open and just move the chains, the stress. Stressing of the check down, and from a defensive side of things, what's your kind of reaction to that that avenue on offense, finding the back out of the backfield or finding the tight end, not necessarily getting big chunk plays, but getting positive yards on first or second down?
Right. Well, I think number one is you hope they don't have two great receivers.
Right.
Because sometimes you can double up on one and, you know, and get away with it. Some of them are so good you don't have a corner that can cover some of them. I mean, it's, you know, it just depends on what you have back there, and especially if you have young guys that you like to be able to double up on their side or whatever it is against certain people. And, you know, that's, to me, that's the thing right there. But when the run blocking comes and it's third and two or three, we got to get a first down, or it's fourth and one or whatever it is, that's the time when you find out what you're made of. And I think that has to be stressed over and over and over again. And offensive linemen have to really be nasty. I mean, if they're going to run the football, I mean, they come off the ball, you know, on smoking. And, you know, that sometimes is one of the better times to get live stuff going is on the goal line, you know, against each other, where you really have to work at it, and then you score, and that's everybody's fired up about that, except the defensive coaches. You know, but anyway, that's kind of the, you know, the kind of motions that, you know, that we went through. We would go live in the goal line each week a little bit, and we just didn't like it because Coach Osborne was the official, and he's an offensive coach. And the defense didn't – when the defense won, sometimes they thought they won, but they really didn't.
Yeah. I got you.
You know, but anyway, there was favoritism, definitely, and I confront them on that. But we never – it was always in fun, and – you know, and it was, you know, if they felt good about what they did and they scored, that's great.
You know how it happened. Exactly. Charlie McBride. Coach, we'll catch up with you next week. Always love chatting with you. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay, guys. I hope the weather gets better for you. I hope this weather follows us. Okay. Talk to you later.
To rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Mr. Mark Kranick. TJ Hennig, no muffins today for TJ. That's disappointing. But Coach McBride was not. We touched on covering backs out of the backfield, the offensive line, that aggressiveness you need, and then energy at practice. So all things that you've heard about the last week when it comes to Nebraska football, and Coach spending a few minutes on it. The good news, Kranick, is the stream is fixed.
Hey, that's good.
It only took me 50 minutes, but hey, better than not at all.
Good job fixing the stream. That's awesome.
Well, thanks to our engineer, Eric, taking a phone call at 7:30, to be honest with you. So, yeah, if you want to take us with you, ESPN 1480 app is free to download. Do so. Another shameless plug. Pop on down to Yowie's for your tournament fix. March to Prize Madness. The prize box is down there. You can put your name in the prize box for the drawing for that 55-inch LG Smart TV. We were at Yowie's yesterday and Thursday. Be back for the Sweet 16 rounds Thursday and Friday and next week. But Yowie's, your tournament headquarters, 8th and Q, in the Haymarket. Bud Light specials galore. So think about that if you're out and about today or tomorrow for tournament coverage. Granak, next hour we'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. So much goodness going on with HailVarsity.com between baseball coverage, message boards, of course, spring football thoughts. It's pretty awesome what's going on the website. And just a parting thought from you. Let's go back to the running backs for a second. We'll expand on it with Vogel and Sharpie next hour. But you are talking about Wilbon, and it sounds like you got to see it on the field, but it sounds like the corner may appear to be being turned by him with this running back race. Because, I mean, what have you heard? You've heard Trey Bryant the last couple, 3 days, right? And then you heard at the end of this week that Azigbo is dinged up or something's going on. So the next obvious question with the running backs is, okay, where's Wilbon at if Bryant may be separating himself? I mean, Kranach, I'm hearing 50 different narratives out of practice, and it changes from the beginning of the week of practice to the end of the week of practice, and now they're on spring break for, you know, 10 days or whatever. That's so good because of the competition level that exists. I mean, that's my takeaway from all of this, that no one's job safe. Everyone's pushing full tilt here to be as good as they can be to win the job. And they're on edge because it's not safe. And I'm all for that. I mean,
well, and all the, how they play football has changed so significantly too. Mm-hmm. Even a guy like Wilbon. So say he was your best option out of the backfield getting passes. Well, Tommy wasn't really good at throwing those passes.
Right. It's a different dynamic now.
So he wasn't as valued.
Right.
Right?
Right. No, I hear
but
you.
Now he is.
I love that.
So, yeah.
All right.
So much to talk about.
We'll get back at it. Hour two, Hail Varsity, the weekend edition. Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp next.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, Roll Tide.
And Mark Kranach.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
In hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt. Mark Kranach, hope you're doing all right this tournament weekend. Some spring ball to go over as it's intermission time. And Nebraska spring football will crank back up in a little over a week. TJ Henning is alive, well, and active. He's engaged. He's smiling now. It's been a busy last 48 hours with tournament stuff down at Yowie's. And watching the games, and TJ's pretty prideful, Kranach, he's super intelligent with basketball, so he's been living and dying every non-upset. He's just been kind of locked in. We have Kranach. Is he, are you there? Kranach? Why the hell would it work? We welcome in Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, are you with me?
I am, and I'm like Kranach, apparently. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I know you're always happy to be here. Kranach, I don't think, is unhappy. I just think, I mean, Kranek's got like two little kids that are just sweet and awesome, but one of them may have set a fire in the basement too. I don't know.
No, you're back.
What the hell happened? Was it medication time or what?
Do I really got to say? I mean, okay.
No, okay. The little boy gets,
he's four.
See, I knew where this was going.
And he just gets up. I mean, he's the one that's up at, I mean, he's like a rooster. You know what I mean? He just gets up. And, you know, there's, go upstairs. He's like standing on the kitchen counter.
Doing jumping
jacks. There's lotion all over the floor. You know, one of those things.
But you had a nuclear explosion upstairs.
Yeah, but it's fine. We're back.
He, you know, Tanner's awesome, but he is he's a Tasmanian devil, correct?
Drunken badger. You know what I mean? Just doesn't really have a plan, but he just
gets, he'll get it done.
Stuff is happening. Uh-huh. No matter what, stuff is going to happen.
That's funny. Well, okay. So there's where Kranek was. We are back. Drunken badger. We'll see how many drunken badgers there are against Villanova later on today. Vogues, how do you digest spring football here at the midway point? What do you like? And what are you cautiously optimistic about?
I don't know if there's anything that I don't like at this stage in spring ball. It's kind of hard, especially with, I guess, how much is different this particular go-around. So, you know, you just kind of got to take it at face value, I guess. Making some progress at quarterback, presumably making some progress at defense. I thought it was interesting on Thursday, moving Joshua Kalu to safety, a move that seemed designed to get Lamar Jackson more time, which was something I kind of came in thinking, like, if he's as good as, you know, he looked in spurts last year, how do you find that guy's snaps? That was maybe one of the developments that had me kind of stop and take a moment and say, well, that's kind of interesting. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, and that one is interesting on a lot of levels. How much of it do you think is just looking at, you know, Aaron Williams played a lot of nickel last year. And if he's really going to lock down one of those safety spots, you essentially have to find another nickel. I don't know how much of Kalu moving and all that is sort of just trying to find your best five DBs for those nickel situations.
I think most of it. And I think that's, you know, a really encouraging sign for Nebraska. They have what should be some pretty high level talent there at different experience stages in their respective careers. So I was interested to see how it was all going to fit together. This is sort of and maybe it's just an experiment. Maybe we'll come back from Nebraska's spring break and it'll have been a one day thing, but it seems at least like they're trying to get creative there, which I think the depth back there particularly afforded them. So that's an encouraging sign, I think, if you're a Husker fan.
Let's stay with the safeties for a second, and we're talking Kalu. You have Reed that they really like. They just want to see more on the field because they haven't done a ton of hitting. And then there's JoJo Doman. I mean, this dude, God, I'm going to overkill this narrative, but I mean, the guy just forces turnovers. He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys on special teams. He's one of those guys in the secondary. But it kind of lives up to the projection so far, doesn't it? I mean, the word on him coming out of Colorado was super athletic, nose for the football. In short spurts, and I'm going to use one window here, the bowl game, major fumble, forced fumble against Tennessee. You're doing red zone, offense versus defense. What happens? A pick yesterday, or I should say Thursday, Tuesday, I don't know, the week's blurry. Point is he had an interception this week, could have had a second, and then forced a fumble. He's doing the play-to-play stuff, but he's also making big plays. To me, if things continue this route, Vogues, it'll be hard to keep him off the field too, won't it?
Yeah, it will. And, you know, just like any sort of scheme, you're going to want one of those safeties to be the guy who can either get down to the box really quickly, basically your run support safety. So I think Nebraska has probably the best two options there are probably Reed or Doman, neither of which has played a ton of football. So you're kind of looking at that there. You know, we talked about getting sort of experimental. I think Nebraska also has a chance to get pretty specialized given the numbers back there. So you might see, you know, a good rotation of 6, 7, 8 guys there that you could kind of mix and match based on down and distance, your opponent's scout, what you think their tendencies are. If you've got a bunch of guys back there that you all think can play at a similar level, that's a pretty big advantage.
Oh, Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Okay. It's so funny that we've gone through all this. Without even mentioning Kyron Williams, he's your leading returning tackler. He was fourth on the team last year.
Interception guy.
Yeah, had 5 of those. So he led your team in interceptions. And out of everybody coming back, he's your leading tackler. And, like, he doesn't get a sniff. What is it about Kyron that seems to have him, at least early on here, on the outside looking in? He seemed to be one of the more productive members of the secondary last year.
Yeah, I don't really know from a sort of profile standpoint. I mean, I don't look at him and say, well, you know, here are the sort of weaknesses or deficiencies in his game. And we also know that he's a pretty committed learner. And, you know, it's not like a guy who I would be very surprised if he was a guy where this whatever changes were happening with Nebraska's defense, he wasn't able to pick up. So I don't think that explains it either. So I'm kind of left with just thinking, you know, this is sort of, I guess not the danger, but one of the side effects of a defensive coordinator change. You know, you just get some different eyes on you, and things can change for guys pretty quickly. Now, I'm pretty confident that if something like that is going on, if that's happening to some degree, Kyron will figure it out and figure out a way to kind of put himself back in the best position possible for him, because that's always been my impression of him in terms of work ethic, the work he puts in off the practice field to sort of make sure he stays on the playing field. So it may just be a little bit early for him, but you're right. He has been a sort of off the radar a bit, I guess, given what he did for Nebraska last year.
Well, that's a guy. And then Avery Anderson, do you have a thought or a take on where he is at with this logjam? I mean, we kind of know where he's at based on what's listed and who's talked about, not to overreact to that, but this guy was a pretty big-time recruit, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, you kind of viewed he and Eric Lee in and not just because they both were coming from Colorado, they both knew each other, but they were also both 4-stars, and you looked at when Mike Riley was able to keep those guys in the class. They had originally committed to Bo Pelini, of course. Felt like a major win, and then you showed up to the first press conference of spring, and neither of them got mentioned in sort of that first group, so you wondered if that was another situation, maybe a little bit like what could be happening with Kyron Williams now, where a coaching change just sort of, it didn't mesh on either end. Now we've seen that, okay, well, Eric Lee at least does seem to be in the mix at cornerback and has played pretty well, I think, over these first 2 weeks. Haven't really heard that with Anderson yet. So, you know, it's always tough to explain how these formerly highly touted guys kind of get left off for a little bit. But when you're 3 years into the program, you kind of have to start wondering if it's going to work out. The time to sort of get it for it to click, whether it's on your end or, you know, whether it's for the coaching staff to see what you can do, it gets pretty short.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, okay, pick a running back. Right now there's a bit of a log jam there. It's sort of anybody's spot to win. But which running back, saying he gets the lion's share of snaps in 2017, which running back do you think gives Nebraska the best potential for an all-conference type season out of 3 available candidates? Again, if they get the lion's share of snaps, which guy do you think gets Nebraska closer to that all-conference level?
It's a tough question and a good question. I probably would go with Trey Bryant just because I think he can do the most things the best. I think the other two guys might have sort of better specialties. But for that all-around guy, which we know if that's a guy who's going to get, you know, 20, 25 carries in this offense, is what he's going to have to be is all-around, you know, adept at pass blocking, between the tackles, outside the tackles, and pass catching. I think Bryant probably gives you the best mix of those. And you would have, you know, you'd probably end up with sort of a Marlon Lucky type season where the reception numbers are pretty high. The rushing numbers aren't quite what you would normally expect for an all conference type back. But in combination, you might be able to get there. That being said, I don't expect Nebraska to have an all conference back this year.
No, I don't either. I went with Wilbon on that question, though. Just in terms of ability. Like, say the guy got 20 carries a game, insert running back here. 20 carries and, I don't know, 3 to 4 catches. It just feels like Wilbon would be the guy that would be more productive. He's never gotten that chance. And, in fact, I've never even heard praise about him really in any way from any coach since he's been here. This week.
Like Reggie Davis. He definitely has the best big play ability, I think, which, I mean, even that is you're basing on such limited touches and snaps that it may seem a little bit presumptive, but I feel like everybody's sort of in that same boat. So he might give you the best chance just on that alone, because the guy who rushes for 850 yards and catches the ball for 500 yards, well, depending on what else is going on in the Big Ten, might be kind of tough to notice. So I can see why you're in Wilbon's corner. He's probably two on my list out of those three.
Vogues, real quick here, I need to check in on you at the NCAA tournament. How have the first 2 days been for you? Not only bracket-wise, but just are you optimistic about this weekend based on how the first 2 days went?
Yeah, really optimistic for the second weekend, which is, I guess, the benefit of getting a lot of chalk through in day one and day two. And because of that, my bracket's doing okay, although I feel like everybody's is doing okay. I tallied it up last night. If you just took the higher seed, I think you got 26 out of 32 games right. I was able to do one better than that. So whatever that's worth, that's where my bracket's at.
That's impressive. I'm going through the list here, and, look, real quick, SMU, did you break anything last night?
That one is the one that hurts the most. That's my only Sweet 16 team that is now gone. The others that I missed, I think we're all 7-10 or 8-9 or 6-11 games. So those are the other ones. I can live with missing those. But that SMU one hurt just with the way the first half was. That was one where I was kind of penciling in like, okay, here's one we got. But
just for the record, and I have a different bracket than our HailVarsity.com bracket. I'm looking at you, TJ Henning, for the Hail Varsity Radio edition. Somebody is 29 out of 32. That's all I'm saying.
I saw that. There's some impressive scores. I saw, I think ESPN Stats and Info tweet, there's something like 964 perfect brackets at this point. Last year there were zero.
I'm feeling good about, you know, 29 out of 32, and you let me know that there's almost 1,000 people in the country that are perfect. So thank you for that.
You get modesty. Got to keep things real.
I love it. Vogues, what's coming up on HailVarsity.com this weekend? Great magazine issue with baseball and Jake Myers earlier in the week was tremendous. But give folks kind of a rundown what they can find on HailVarsity.com.
Yeah, so you know the Huskers are of course at home, Husker baseball. So we'll be covering that series this weekend. Aaron Sorensen's working on a story with one of the pro day stars who did not play football for the University of Nebraska. So I think people will be kind of interested in that. And then of course next week, you know, Nebraska football's on spring break, so we'll use that as sort of a convenient reset period, go through some of the things we learned, some of the questions we still have for the remainder of spring football. So that's kind of the next week in a nutshell.
Vogues, great work. Thanks again for a few minutes, and we'll catch up with you next week, bud.
All right, guys. Take care.
Awesome stuff.
Thank you, Brandon.
Krainak, where are you at? I mean, you do like 7,000 of these things on a weekly basis for football. I know you have to have like a bracket you're proud of, don't you?
Yeah.
Anything close to 29 out of 32?
Well, I've started pretty terribly, but 15 of my 16 Sweet 16 teams are still alive.
See,
15 of 16.
I'm still alive. I'm in trouble there because two of my Sweet 16 teams are done. Now, if Michigan dies tomorrow, that could be brutal.
Michigan's got a man. They've been playing really well. They might be one of the hottest teams in the country. Period. Down the stretch here, they've been playing really well. I wouldn't put it past them to get past Louisville. We'll see.
I hope it happens. Let's get some advice. Next segment from Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, not only on brackets, but on spring football. Some thoughts with the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, when Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Krainak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. We're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Krainak, TJ Heading. We're efforting Mr. Sharp. Maybe. Wheel? Maybe not. Well, we'll keep efforting. Krainak, did you do anything for St. Paddy's Day last night? Is he not with us now either? Hello? Bueller? This is wonderful.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I was on mute. So, I did not do anything for St. Paddy's Day, but I will be going to actual Ireland in a few weeks.
No, I know. I got that text earlier this week. Well played.
Yeah. So that won't be so bad.
You been there before?
Huh?
You been there before?
I've been there once, but just in Dublin and just for a couple days. And that's the, that's the big city. But this time around, it'll be the West Coast, which is all kind of rocky cliffs and ocean.
Are you bringing your clubs?
People speaking Gaelic. I don't golf, man. I can't get into golf. I never have been able to.
Well, maybe you should golf with Gary Sharp sometime. He would show you the beauty of the game. Sharpie, good morning. Thanks for a few minutes. Krainak's going to Ireland in 3 weeks. Do we want him back?
Yeah, we want him back, but his timing is all off. How come you don't go to Ireland like this weekend?
I know. That was kind of dumb. That's all right, though. I mean, it's still going to be green, and there's still pubs and all that. I'll bring you guys back some knitted sweaters from some wool smith out there.
Okay.
I will take a extra medium kilt, please.
Nice.
Okay. All right. This is perfect. That's a horrible vision.
Sharpie, we're at intermission of spring ball. What's the main takeaway you have? What are you kind of, I guess, impressed with so far? Not to overreact, but, you know, measured through the first few practices. And then what's a question or two you have, or what's kind of left you going, what's going on here? Anything at all?
Well, I think, you know, you're six practices in, so you don't want to read into a lot. I think there are a couple of keys, though. First of all, anybody that has seen Nebraska practice, the tempo is so much better than it's been in a couple of years. And I think a lot of that has to do with the quarterbacks, because you don't see a lot of balls on the turf. A lot of passes are being completed, but the tempo is really, really fast, where multiple guys are getting reps, where you look at, for example, running backs. I mean, they're going more than just the main three. You're getting into the Mazurs and Austin Roses that are getting time. And sticking with running backs, you know, you try and not go all in on somebody during spring because you're not keeping score, and it doesn't matter. You know, if you're good on March 18th, it doesn't matter if you're not very good on August 18th or September 18th. But this may be the time that we've turned the corner on Mikael Wilbon. I think he's had a really, really good first six practices, and he kind of looks like the Mikael Wilbon that we see flashes of, but he's been able to carry it for six practices. And I know Mike Riley hinted on Thursday that he's starting to see some separation at running back. Trey Bryan is really good, and I think Trey Bryan has built his body up where he can withstand the pounding of a Big Ten season. But Mikael Wilbon finally looks like the guy that we expect him to be. He's got a great burst. He's got very good hands. I think his vision is really good. And I think he's gotten his body where he likes it, where, you know, he's not carrying some extra poundage. So I think the running backs have had a nice start. Of course, the quarterbacks, you know, they've been, you know, you're going to have your good days and your bad days. But for the most part, the quarterbacks have changed things where you have some guys that are window throw us, as I like to call, that'll put the ball right on the money, to a collection of wide receivers that are going to be really, really good. So I think on the offensive side of the ball, Nebraska is exactly where they want to be. On the defensive side, I think they're exactly where they thought they would be. Their defensive backs are money. Chris Jones, who talks a heck of a game and can back it up, is going to be an NFL guy. And then I think the front seven, you know, they're adjusting the new terminology and a new way of coaching. So I think, you know, anything that Nebraska thought they were going to get out of the first six practices, they've gotten. They feel pretty confident. Now you hope that you have a lot of retention when you come back from 12 days off to get going for the second half of spring.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. It's funny you bring up Wilbon. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about who would be that X factor for Nebraska on offense. Because you look at last year's offensive production, not a ton of yards after catch, not a ton of off-script runs. Like, everything was very kind of station to station, really had to work for their drives. If Wilbon indeed gets a lot of the carries, he quickly moves to the top of that list of X factors on offense, wouldn't you think?
I absolutely agree, and you're seeing a lot more, and I think we'll just see this now moving forward. This offense, there are a lot of checkdowns, and I know insert joke here, but guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield are key, and he's really shown a penchant to catch the ball out of the backfield and make that first guy miss. Now, they haven't done any full-scale, good-on-good tackling, but he looks a lot more confident, and now he's just letting his game play. And I think there's some credit to Reggie Davis, who has stuck with Mikael Wilbon. He's laid kind of everything out. This is what you need to do if you want to play more. And good on Mikael Wilbon for following through. But, yeah, he's a guy that, how we see it in the first 2 years, certain games where you go, wow. I go back to the Northwestern game last year, and you're thinking, if you can get that all the time, he's your number one running back. Well, you know what? We may have now gotten it in spring, but I want to push pause because what will happen in the fall when things really get intense. But for the most part, Mikael Wilbon has been really, really good.
The On Horse, Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, what do you make of the secondary, specifically the safeties, where you have Coach Elliott kind of pumping up not only Aaron Williams, but also Doman and Reed, and then Kyron Williams was part of that mix. And then you have the move or the experiment with Kalu back there, which Kranak and I are in agreement that, I mean, you have such good competition. There's not a it's not a bad thing to look at and go, wow, you have that much talent, that many options back in the secondary. But what's your read here on Kyron Williams, or is there anything to make a big deal about where he's not listed as one of those top two guys at this point anyway?
Well, I think I wouldn't read too much into it because, remember, we read a lot into Eric Lee. And all of a sudden, Eric Lee shows up on the first day of spring. And Eric Lee is having a really good spring, and he is legit number two at his position. Let's first start with Kalu. This is the time of the year you can experiment with stuff. And, you know, Josh played free safety in high school. And he's played in the nickel a little bit, so it's not like it's an unfamiliar territory for him. I actually like the idea because I'm interested to see what he's like with the whole field in front of him, what he can do from that standpoint. And I also think let's give a little credit to Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson's starting to make a push, and Dante Williams goes, you know, we got to find a way to get Lamar Jackson on the field. Let's try this. So I kind of like, if you had to roll it out today, the four starting defensive backs. You got Kalu, and, you know, and Kalu is going to be okay. He's going to be solid for you. And if he's playing safety, all right. You got Aaron Williams, who is a really good football player that we get to see from week to week, and you go, okay, I can see it. And then you got Lamar Jackson, and then Chris Jones. And Chris Jones is having a typical spring. Chris Jones is the leader of that secondary. But you mentioned JoJo Doman. I think JoJo Doman is a fascinating player because he's got high football IQ. And, oh, by the way, he's a really good football player that hardly ever gets caught out of position. So I think right now Nebraska feels pretty good about their top eight defensive backs. And don't forget, another guy, DiCaprio Boodle, who was the satellite camp kid, as I like to dub him, has really shown up. So that defensive backfield, your back four, I think they feel real good about. The other thing that I found intriguing that was mentioned is they're going to try and, at times, play three cornerbacks or three safeties on the field, and they're not called a nickel or dime package. So that's an area where Nebraska is feeling very good about, and they should, and that won't change from spring to fall, in my opinion.
All things you've seen, I know it's early, but it's ultimately what everybody wants to know. from what you've seen, do we expect Nebraska's defense to be better next year? I mean, and remarkably so or incrementally so?
I would say incrementally, but remember, you got to be ramped up when you get to game two in Eugene because Oregon returns a lot of offensive firepower. I think it'll be a process as the season moves along that Nebraska will, at the end of the year, find themselves, you know, a top 30 defense. I don't think you'll see them give up as many big plays as maybe has plagued them in the past. The other thing that I think they are trying to install in the spring is go get the football, create turnovers, pick off passes, try and force fumbles. But it's going to be a slow process. And, you know, we're seeing here in the spring, some guys get confused on which side they're supposed to line up on. But it's a process. And you know, I think as the season moves along and guys feel more comfortable in their roles and guys are moved into positions where that's their strength, then I think you'll see Nebraska improve. But I think early on, that offense is going to have to be humming at a high-octane rate because I think that defense will have some hits and misses, especially in that first month.
Sharpie, let's switch gears to Thursday and Friday, the NCAA tournament. How's the Gary Sharp bracket looking? And B, are you down on those first two tournament games, or were you okay with some chalk because it's, you know, obviously a 180 from a year ago? You have some opportunities for great matchups today and tomorrow.
You do. Nobody wants to hear about my bracket, and I don't want to hear about your bracket.
Wow. So someone's angry.
Well, I know. It's just it's the old sports talk radio where you tune in and you hear a host going, yeah, I went 15-1. No one wants to hear about your bracket, and don't call me up and say, here's what my bracket is doing. But I did kind of roll the dice thinking there would be some upsets, and we went chalk for 2 days. There were some games that came down to the end, but this is the 2 days of the year we like chaos. Uh-huh. And then next week we like our favorites to move on. So far it's kind of been where we're looking for Cinderella. You know, where did Cinderella go? She forgot to show up for the party. But maybe today will change some things. I think the Big Ten is what it is kind of during the regular season. It was up and down. And Purdue's got a stiff test against Iowa State. You know, and Wisconsin, I think, will give Villanova a contest today. But I don't know if you guys have mentioned or not, because you probably haven't heard it, that with Northwestern winning the other day, Nebraska is the last Power 5 team. If somebody did bring that up, I don't know how many people would realize that's the case.
Great, Eck. I mean, we talked about it to start the show off, just how quickly the middle finger was given to Nebraska.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's not the fact that, you just kind of hang your head in shame for a second. It's how quickly it happened that tweet was sent out by ESPN Stats and Info.
Immediately. And same with on SportsCenter. I mean, they just get done with the highlights, and it's like...
I mean, it's kind of... you know, it would be a big deal if Nebraska basketball was going to the NCAA tournament on a regular basis. But you went from 98 to 2014 without going to the tournament. There are a couple of, you know, the five times you went to the tournament in the 90s, the 91 team,
yes,
that was a three seed of the Metrodome, I thought they would at least win a game, but they faced a team that was very underseeded in Xavier. And then the 93 team that had the momentum of winning the Big 8 tournament in Kansas City, which ultimately found out kind of just zapped all their energy, I thought they would beat a New Mexico State team. In Nebraska, that team was a number 10 seed, but those are two that I thought would get a win in the big dance. They did. I'm more concerned that Nebraska for three straight years hasn't finished better than 11th. They're, what, 16, 17 games under 500 in the last 3 years. Just get into the tournament. That's all I'm asking for right now. Just get into the tournament next year. And if they win a game, then nobody will talk about that. But I thought that was a little bit overplayed because, for the most part, if nobody brings it up, you're not walking around every day going, well, still haven't won a game. Still haven't won a game.
You threw some salt on me, man, with that 91 reference and Xavier and Tyrone Hill. I mean,
well, that was you had two NBA guys. You had King and Piatkowski that were on that team.
Yes,
and that just seemed like the team that was destined to make a run because they were a three seed and that was a really, really good team. And they went to the Metrodome and couldn't get over the hump, and it was a game where you were playing catch-up all day.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, you give up 89, and you lose by five. There,
yep.
But, you know, then there were some other games in there, the game against Penn.
Michael Jordan went to work on you. Yeah.
You know, game against Arkansas where it didn't work. But I thought 91 and 93 were Nebraska's best opportunities to get a win. And I even think the 91 team would have gotten a win, and I think that would have been a Sweet 16 team.
I'll go one better. I mean, the way they were built, they could have been in the lead eight. I mean, once in a while we talked to Bill Reed and I mean, that 90, I mean, you had Scales and you had Tony Farmer. I mean, that dude was that was the team, man. That was the team. And I still weep about that team. God, what could have been? Sharpie, now just to say thanks, and we'll catch you next week too. 15 out of 16 yesterday is what I did. Just saying.
Nobody wants to hear about your bracket. You don't want to hear about mine.
Congratulations. You're like, shut up. I'm hanging up. Okay. Hey, last thought here. Husker baseball, big one yesterday. The weather's nice. Do you think the end of last weekend series where they got that 10-1 spot kind of help generate some things? Because I'm trying to figure out where Nebraska baseball's at mentally. I mean, they've had such a tough schedule early on. They pressed, and now they're kind of doing what they're supposed to do. How's Erstad doing with the guys?
Well, I think that five-day layoff, you know, you win the final game of that series against Western Carolina, and the way that you did it with Jake Myers throwing a complete game and you put up a crooked number, and then you get 5 days off, and it's probably a good break for Nebraska at this point in the year to just step back, take a deep breath. You've played a busy schedule where a majority has been on the road. You know, we might start to finally see the real Nebraska, but don't kid yourself. This is a team that's going to have to battle every single game. They can't take anything for granted, and it starts on the mound. I mean, they're going to need some really good starting pitching like they've gotten now in back-to-back games, and then kind of let the bats develop. But my question is, how can we get started? And maybe this is a thing Hale Varsity can get behind. We need, on one of the berms at Haymarket Park, we need people to start to now brand the Mojo's Army.
Nice.
Mojo Hagee, who is from Scut, you know, who's got long hair and he's got a beard. I think we need Mojo's Army at home games because that is a guy that kind of flew under the radar. People in Omaha that watched him at Scut, especially during the spring and the summer with Legion, knew about how good he could be. Darren Erstad said, hey, we'll bring you onto the roster. You got to earn it. And he opened up the door, and he's not giving that back. And, boy, he's been one of the more pleasant surprises, not only for Nebraska but in college baseball. But we need to reward him. Anybody that's got a name like Mojo Hagee, we need to have Mojo's Army on the berm at Haymarket Park or out in the outfield.
I think we do the Mojo Rising section. It's a little Doors reference, but the hair and the beard.
Well played.
No, it was a little Mojo Rising. Play a little L.A. Woman every time he comes up to bat. I don't know. I mean, I like it. I know Mojo's Army is a good call, Sharpie. Get on that T-shirt press, all right?
I will work on it. I'll work on it. We got 12 days till spring football is back, so we got a lot of downtime.
Absolutely. Be good. Have a great weekend, and thanks for a few minutes, man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
See ya. There you go.
Thanks, sir.
Mojo's Army's a great take. He comes up with that stuff all the time.
He's hitting 346.
Well, he just gets on base. And You know what, dude? He's a grinder like Erstad and like Will Bolt. I'm not saying there's the same talent level, but I'm saying the same mentality, it seems like.
I think he'll remind you of like a Jeff Lisey, just the size and all that. Not a big dude.
Just finds a way.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, leading the team in hitting, not bad.
No, and dude just has that kind of bulldog approach. Thanks to Gary Sharp. He really kind of slung an arrow at me about the bracket thing. I think.
Yeah, he really did.
I feel bad
about
that. He
said no one cares about your bracket.
And he wasn't just talking me, but he's just Sports Talk 101.
No, I think he was talking specifically about your bracket.
I know.
Everyone cares about mine.
Yeah.
But yours,
just like every, you know, final 5 minutes, fall Saturdays, you're like, hey, Schmidt, who do I pick in my confidence pool? It's another 10G I'm putting down, but I can win 100. I mean,
listen, you're casting a spread. That is not true. I do not put down 10G or 1G or any Gs.
You could.
Yeah, well, I could, but I do not do that.
But you're about pride with the confidence picks. You're all in it.
Yeah, that matters more.
Yeah, all right. We just talked a little baseball. Let's talk diamonds for a couple more minutes, and that's Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure grown diamonds. 100% real diamonds. They're grown in a lab instead of earth mine diamonds. What's the difference? Well, how about savings? 10 to 40% less than earth mine diamonds. They're eco-friendly, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And the exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick and your friends this weekend. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Can log on sauterheyman.com. Pure-grown diamonds have become one of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. You know that history is 100 years and counting. It's over a century. Now, go find out why they sell so well and how beautiful they are. Pure-grown diamonds with Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. A quick timeout. We'll say goodbye to a Saturday next.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
One final time on a Saturday. Hope your weekend will be filled with family, friends, and plenty of entertainment for the tournament. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, TJ Henning. We'll be back Monday. Don't forget Yowie's Lodge in the Haymarket, 8th and Q, your tournament headquarters, March to Prize Madness. Your chance to go enter into the contest, 55-inch LG Smart TV, our grand prize giveaway, plenty of other goodies and gifts, Bud Light specials throughout the tournament. So we invite you down to Yowie's, and we'll be there for the Sweet 16 rounds next Thursday and Friday. We were there yesterday and Thursday to kick off tournament action. Great folks, amazing food specials, and TJ will attest to the chicken finger basket. Garson will attest to the salmon, and I will attest to their ribeye. Incredible. Kranach, what are you throwing on the grill this weekend? It's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah, I got to figure that one out, man. It is time. It's time to get in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to do some spring pruning and whatnot, and then do some grilling. I want to get going on the smoker, though, man. I've had the smoker for a while, but I haven't actually really
Do you have the real smoker? And I say that with all due respect, because I'm one of these dudes who has the mine's a Pit Boss and it's a wood pellet, so it's hard for me to screw it up. I mean, the guys who chop their own wood or get the wood and really have to mind it. I mean, I'll drink Crown and kind of watch.
I'm in between. Yeah, I'm in between that and the dude chopping down. I got an electric smoker.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, so I fill it with wood chips.
I plug mine in, and you just got to kind of make sure the temperature's all good.
Yeah, I tried chicken breasts on there, and that's hard, right? Because they don't have a lot of fat on them, and they just came out. They were just Here's chicken jerky by the time I got it. It was terrible.
Let me give you a little advice here. And I what you do with that is you smoke it for 30 minutes. And then you grill it. And then you finish it off in the oven.
That's a lot of moving around.
You know what, though? You'll never have a better chicken breast.
All right.
Or just stick to the grill with it. I mean, use your smoker for Kranak. You got to bring the kids and Laura down and come to Casa de Schmidt, and we'll get my smoker fired up, and we'll get some ribs on there for you.
He'll show how it's done.
Well, again, the pit boss will show how it's done. All I do is buy the ribs and throw them on there, and I pour you a drink.
I like that.
I know you do.
It actually sounds pretty damn near perfect. So you're going to buy it, and then you're going to cook it, and then I'm going to eat it?
All done. Absolutely.
Okay. That's it.
We'll see you Sunday.
Okay. We'll talk soon.
Wonderful. Hey, you're awesome, Kranak. Thanks for time today, bud.
You good, brother?
All right, you too. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, thanks for your time with Hail Varsity.